Jimmy, you got the mic again. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so I am absolutely just tired of hearing that the unvaccinated are risking the vaccinated's lives. If you're afraid of the virus, if you're vaccinated, then and you're still afraid of the virus, then you need to go hide. You know, if that's your issue, that's your responsibility. Why does the rest of the world have to bow down and protect you because of your fear? Yesterday, this was amazing to me. I'd love to send the video or the picture out, but I took my wife to the airport. I'm driving up Interstate 5 on my way just towards Vancouver, just a few miles from our house. And here's a guy in the left lane, the fast lane on I-5 heading north in a Honda Civic. He's got a full-on N95 respirator by himself in his car. He's going over 70 in the fast lane. And what is he doing? He's texting as he's driving, holding the steering wheel. Think about the idiocy of that. I mean, you are probably 50 times more likely to die in a car accident with texting while driving than you are with that by yourself from a COVID at the N95 mask on. This is insanity. These people just absolutely have no common sense, and they're being manipulated by the media and the press that is being controlled and influenced by this regime, this administration. They are influencing people. They are attempting to hire social media influencers. They are doing pushing Hollywood speakers. They're doing all kinds of things in order to propagandize their efforts. And it absolutely doesn't make any sense from a perspective of your individual choice and your individual rights.
Boy, I gotta
tell you. That guy is...
Go ahead, Dan.
That guy presumably was an adult if he was driving the freeways, wearing a mask by himself in a vehicle. I don't know if he's going to get it from the radio or what his worry is. But think of what we're doing to children. Think about people growing up in the age of COVID and the variants. They must be in just abject fear all the time that something's going to kill them. Something transparent, something that's just floating around, is going to kill them at any moment. When they have virtually no risk, their risk is nearly zero. I mean, you couldn't plot it on a graph because you couldn't make line go far enough above the bottom.
CDC statistics, 1 in 1 million people under the age of 25 are at risk of dying from COVID, 1 out of 1 million, and that's with obesity or some other cardiological or diabetic or a fear anxiety type of a problem. These numbers are stunning and they are factual, but people absolutely, and my wife's on the school board, people still argue what they hear from Rachel Maddow or, you know, the CNN people. These fear-mongering, fear porn media propaganda efforts are absolutely intimidating the population. And you've got to think that there's a reason for it. People have to be doing this because you are absolutely right. We are destroying a generation, both in education and developing the complex fear issues that will carry over for literally generations and destroying our nation.
It's the same. It's turning it into a religion like they did with climate change. It's a religion. The left has to wear it on its sleeve, just like climate change. They have to mention it every time. They have to do their dance like Colbert constantly because it's a religion. And the government needs to have it because they need to keep exercising control. Because once the people rise up and say, hey, we're not going to submit to your control, then they got problems. So it is a religion, and we ought to treat it as such.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I got to tell you, it's not a religion, it's a cult. I use the word religion very positively, as you guys don't. Dan, I know that you do also. It's a cult.
Yeah.
It's a very, very uninformed, nonspecific cult. Have either one of you, you're both a couple of very intelligent guys, have either one of you ever seen proof, hard, cold facts, black and white proof that the immunizations work? Jimmy?
Well, I think you'd have to give them credit for the fact that we have witnessed that the vax people tend to not, if the, again, you don't know who to believe, unfortunately, because it's become so politicized. But it looks like the vax people have not suffered more critical stages of the disease. And so that's of real value. They still die, but it doesn't look like they're dying at the rate that they were dying without the vaccine. I think the vaccine has value, but it could also be quite risky too. I don't know that we're going to have a mass die-off of humans from taking the vaccine someday, but it's starting to look like the flu vaccines more than anything else, where they're of some value, not perfect, and that they wane over time. So that's kind of what we're seeing. I took the vaccine. I'm taking a risk. I'm trusting that Pfizer doesn't want to risk the existential threat of its company being sued into the ground, that they made their judgment. I'm going to go with that. But I can tell just from watching news reports that the vaccines are losing their value, and then they're going to need to be replaced. And so that begs the question, are we going to go through this every time there's a variant, every time there's a new vaccine? I mean, we don't do this with the flu. What is the government's answer? Are we in this permanent state of responding to every medical procedure they must have us take?
Well, you know, Dan, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm actually, so I'm with the indemnity of the developers of these vaccines. I'm actually a little more concerned that, in fact, maybe there was an agenda, that in fact, that they know that they weren't going to have long-term effectiveness. And that's why they're continuing to push additional boosters, that in fact, maybe that's in perpetuity, they can continue to expand and get more and more market share and then be protected by that. Because in fact, they aren't going to be sued by you because they make a mistake right now. The government's going to take the responsibility for that. And of course, if you go back to 1976 and you look at the swine flu debacle, you're going to find some very interesting facts. The government did a very similar propaganda push. Over 45 million Americans, we had about 180 million Americans in the country at the time. You had 45 million Americans take the swine flu. They shut down after 2 years. They got all the media hyped up. They got all the, they've got, different people to Hollywood stars, Mary Tyler Moore. Apparently they used her name fraudulently to say, hey, you're going to get the vaccine, blah, 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 push it. With, I think, about 56 deaths, and now we're talking somewhere for this vaccine, somewhere around 12 or 14,000 deaths related indirectly to the or directly to the vaccine. They stopped it, and then they were sued. But it took a few years for it to happen. And I see a similar pattern here, and I see the CDC acting in a very similar way. And there's a phenomenal 60 Minutes episode that goes over an interview with Mike Wallace interviewing the CDC director on some of the decisions and what was happening, and talking to the different media hypes and the Hollywood people that they use to kind of hype the agenda here. So I don't trust them right now. I do not trust them. I don't trust the pharmaceuticals, and I certainly don't trust the people that are out there hyping this the vaccine right now, that are trying to, if they're forcing you to take it, then there's some justification for them to have to force you rather than just having a good, solid reason to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And I think Senator Paul's discussion with Director Becerra, the HHS director, Javier Becerra, right now, I think is a pretty poignant argument. And if people want to take a look at that over the weekend, they may want to see some interesting theater in the Senate.
Hey, guys, to wrap this up, let me have some time to talk here. And I've gladly given you all the time that you wanted to discuss this. I believe we have two issues that are first and foremost here. The first issue is that, does the government have the right to force you to take a vaccine, or are the physicians who I have chatted with ad nauseum in the past correct when they say you do what you think is right? And most of the people who have said you do what you think is right have taken the vaccine. I, for example, say the same thing, and I've had two doses of the vaccine. But the fact of the matter is, the question is not necessarily the effectiveness of the vaccine. The question is, does the United States government, many many of the members who we don't respect very much because of some of the things they have done, do they have the right to force us to take the vaccine? I don't believe so.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.